A reading from the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the holy ones who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the beloved. In Christ, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. The word of the Lord. The Lord has made known his salvation. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. The Lord said, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter. When Jesus left, the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say. Verbum Domini. On one occasion, I was flying, and a man who was seated next to me, I was talking to him about EWTN and where I work and pray. And I was telling him about, you know, he had a smartphone, and I said, well, you could download the app, you know, right on your phone, which he did because the airplane had Wi-Fi. So he got the EWTN app. I said, now go to the on-demand. So he did, and then I said, now watch this, Alive in Christ, the Eucharistic Martyrs. And he watched it during our flight. And if you've never seen that program, I think it's 30 minutes long, it's about two very early Eucharistic martyrs in the church. The one we celebrate today is the first one, St. Ignatius of Antioch, and the other, St. Justin Martyr. I've watched it several times. It's so well done. And takes the actual words of these two saints and puts it into the dialogue that they have. So it's a docudrama where parts are acted out, and then you have scholars discussing the history and so on. So I highly recommend that to you today, to watch that Alive in Christ. It's free on demand. And it's a very beautiful depiction of St. Ignatius of Antioch, who the Byzantines hold was the child that Jesus put into the midst of the apostles and said, unless you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's this ancient tradition of the Byzantines that was Ignatius of Antioch. So it was after that time that he became the third bishop of Antioch. So Antioch, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, is where they were first called Christians. Paul and Barnabas went there, and it was a church where they were first called Christians. St. Peter was the first bishop there. It would be later that Peter then would travel to Rome, where his life he would give for Christ. The second bishop was a man by the name of Evodius, and the third was St. Ignatius of Antioch. He was a bishop there for like 40 years, from around 67 AD to 107 AD, and he knew the apostles, and in particular, St. John. Well, one of the things that was happening at that time is there was a group who were teaching falsely that Jesus, that God only appeared to become man. He didn't really become man. He only appeared to become a man. He only appeared to suffer and die. But that didn't really happen. It was just an appearance. Well, that was a false teaching, of course. Ignatius is learning from St. John, who writes in his prologue in his gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he said that they would no longer take part, you know, in the Eucharist because they denied that the Eucharist was the flesh of Christ. And what does Ignatius call it? He calls it the medicine of immortality. The antidote for death. Of course, Jesus said he who eats his bread will live forever. That's where Ignatius gets this. But listen to these words that he wrote in his letter to the Romans. So he writes a letter to the Roman Christians where he's going to be martyred. He's being taken from Antioch in chains by Roman guards all across, you know, modern-day Turkey and eventually to Rome, where he's going to be thrown to the wild beasts. And he writes seven letters along the way. St. Polycarp meets him and during his being taken there to his martyrdom. But here's what Ignatius wrote. He said, "I no longer take pleasure in perishable food or in the delights of this world. I want only God's bread, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I crave his blood, which is love that cannot perish. I am no longer willing to live a merely human life." So he knew the reality, as was always a belief from the earliest days of Christians. St. Justin testifies to this too, that they really and truly understood the truth that the Eucharist is truly receiving the flesh and blood of Christ, who became man and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. You know, in this beautiful docudrama that, again, I encourage you to watch called Alive in Christ, they have this dialogue, and many of the words come from Ignatius. So they depict him being taken by the Romans in chains. And then finally he arrives at the Roman prison, and there are two Christians in the adjoining cell, and they can talk to each other. And so there's a man and a woman who are Christians who know they're going to be also thrown to the wild beasts in the Colosseum. And Ignatius arrives, he's brought in there. And the Christian man says to him, "You know, are you from here?" And he says, "No, I'm from afar, from Antioch." And he said, "Well, why are you here?" And Ignatius answers, "Christianus sum." I am a Christian. And so the Christian man says to him, he says, "Clearly you are not from here. You have no idea what awaits us," thinking of what was about to happen, being thrown to the wild beasts. And Ignatius answers, "Not true. I know what awaits me. The Lord has chosen us for life, not for death. These beasts will grant us the crown of glory, and we will forever live with him." And you see this in his letters, this profound desire to be united to the Lord. He would also write in his letter to the Romans, "I prefer death in Christ Jesus to power over the farthest limits of the earth. He who died in place of us is the one object of my quest. He who rose for our sake is my one desire." And so a question for us today is, what is your quest? What is your desire? For St. Ignatius, he knew the Roman Empire was extended so far. And so they had the authority to execute him if they wanted to. They had that power and authority over the lands that they had conquered. But what does Ignatius say? "I prefer death in Christ Jesus to power over the farthest bounds of the world, of the earth." Because he has something far greater, not just the dust of this earth that passes away, but life with Christ that lasts forever. And so he says to that fellow prisoner in this docudrama, He says, no, I know what awaits me. The Lord has created us for life, not for death. In fact, he would speak in his letter to the Romans about this is going to be my birth. We often celebrate the day of the martyrdoms of the saints as their birth into heaven, into the true life. Well, we can think today, you know, today we had in our entrance antiphon, and the entrance antiphon that we sing, and we have there for our viewers too to participate in, the church gives us as kind of the theme or the tone of the particular feast or memorial that we are celebrating. And so today's entrance antiphon that we had at the beginning of the Mass comes from Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And if you ever have and forget your value, your worth, why you're here, read Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me. What was it that drove St. Paul? Because the Son of God had loved him and gave himself for him. And so Paul wanted to give everything to him. Ignatius too. He wants to imitate the Lord. And so we have in this beautiful vestment the depiction, an ancient Christian symbol of the pelican. And there was a legend that a pelican, when it couldn't feed its young, would scrape its own breast with its beak in order to feed the young with its own blood. And so it's been this symbol of the Eucharist, a symbol of Christ's passion, of his self-giving. And so St. Paul is driven by this love, to love him in return. St. Ignatius is likewise driven by this, if you will, driven by love. So remember Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given himself up for me. Remember that. If you're ever going through some darkness in your life, remember that truth. And then the beginning of today's letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, it's a beautiful thing for us to reflect upon too, of how much God has given to us. I use a different introduction to the Mass today, the greeting. Well, there's two of those greetings that come from St. Paul's letters. And the one that I use today comes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are the words that we heard today. So this is what St. Paul begins his desire, that they would have the grace and the peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he opens his letter. Well, what is grace? What is peace? And he says it's from God. Well, if we look at the glossary of the Catechism, here's what it says about grace. The free and undeserved gift. Free and undeserved. We didn't earn it. It's freely given. Undeserved gift that God gives us. Why? So that we might share in his divine life and friendship. That's why he gives this gift of his own divine life, so that we can share in his divine life and his friendship. And then of peace, and the glossary speaks of it as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and quotes St. Augustine, it's the tranquility of order. Peace, the tranquility of order. Things are in right order. We have disorder. And what gives us the tranquility of order? It's being right with God. That's our first relationship that we need to be concerned with, that Ignatius was concerned about most of all. I prefer this, death in Christ, to power over the farthest bounds of the earth. The tranquility of order is being right with God. And if you're not right with God, maybe that's causing this disorder that you might be experiencing, some of you. And so it's a time to come to be reconciled to the Lord. He desires it even more than you do, so that you can have that tranquility of right order in your own soul. You can have that peace that he wants for you. And just a couple more comments on today's first reading, the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, because Paul speaks about how we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. That's a lot of blessings. Every spiritual blessing in the heavens we've been blessed in Christ more than we could ever deserve or ask for. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. But especially this line I wanted to focus on, that in Christ we have the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. When someone lavishes gifts on another person, you say, wow, they're being really extraordinarily generous in giving what they're giving. Why are they doing that? Well, it comes from great love, right? Somebody loves one. Maybe a young guy is attracted to a young lady, and he's going to send her, you know, a room full of roses. He's going to lavish this on her in order to win her heart. Well, God has done even more than that. He's lavished upon us the riches of his grace, St. Paul says, his favor. It's not a stingy, calculating thing, but a superabundant generosity that he has given to us. So Ignatius of Antioch teaches us what is right. And I'd just like to conclude with his words in a letter that he wrote to St. Polycarp, who also learned from St. John. And consider Ignatius speaking to you these words. The age is in need of you if it is to reach God, as pilots need the winds, and as a storm-tossed sailor needs port. Stand firm like an anvil under the hammer. A great boxer will take a beating and yet win through. We ought to put up with anything, especially for the sake of God. Become more zealous even than you are. Understand the age in which we live. Look for him who is beyond all time, the eternal, the invisible, who became visible for our sake, who suffered for our sake, who endured every outrage for our sake.